Welcome to Hands at the Table. I'm your co-host, Jeff Bramhall. Alongside fellow massage therapist, Boris Aranyi, this podcast shows massage therapists how powerful our profession can be. We believe that as a craft and as a profession, massage therapy is only limited by a therapist's imagination and willingness to put in the work. By sharing what we're learning, what we're working on, and what's captured our interest, we hope to broaden your perspective, inspire you to set your standard high, and invest in your craft. Thank you for joining us. And welcome back to Hands at the Table with Bori and Jeff. Today we are going to talk about EFT, which is something that is near and dear to Bori's heart, a class that she's taken in the not too distant past, and something that is factoring in pretty heavily. If you listen to our last conversation, as we started talking about some of the languaging stuff and some of the complementary medicinal approaches and therapeutic approaches that are happening with her new practice in Hungary, EFT factors in pretty heavily with that. And I know nothing about this. So I'm looking forward to this being a little bit of an education for me, and then also I think and as always we'll probably riff into a bunch of interesting things here. So Bori, can you lead in here with an overview of what EFT is, and maybe also bridge into how you use it?
Sure. I was just looking for the book, but anyway. So EFT is emotional freedom technique, and it is more known like that. I think it's called tapping. So when somebody's talking about tapping therapies or tapping sessions, like that's what they talk about usually. And it was created based on kind of a mixture of traditional Chinese meridians and traditional Chinese medicine and modern psychology. So what these early researchers found is that tapping on meridian points on the body that they learned from the ancient Chinese medicine actually changes internal psychological states and internal physiology in the brain and biological states also. So that's how it kind of like came together. It's also, I also immediately love the mix of like East and West, because it's like finally somebody's using that 1,000 years of knowledge that is kind of piled up in the East, but actually somebody can prove it that it's actually working. So it's very interesting, and it's a very simple technique. That's the other very intriguing about it. You don't really need anything. You don't need any tools. You maybe need a room, maybe somebody else to practice it, but you can actually do it on yourself. You can do it at any time. You really don't need anything for it, just yourself, basically. So it was really great. It was a class that came up in Budapest that was really interesting, because I've been trying to do this class forever. And read the book and all that stuff, and I was like ready to take it through online classes from the States for like $800, not cheap. And then my Reiki master texted me if I would want to translate a class here in Budapest, because a lady from California is coming to teach this, and I'm like, absolutely yes, like this would be the perfect time for me. I can easy peasy translate, especially California English. Easy. Then it turned out that lady is originally from Boston. So she had a little of that.
Oh,
Boston.
Wow. Perfect.
Yes. Yes. I'm like, I got you there too. Don't worry about it. So this lady who came, she's Paula Horan. She is also a Reiki master, EFT practitioner. And the book that I recommend reading for anybody to know about EFT, one of the writers is Dawson Church, PhD, Genie in the Genes. That's a very great book. And And Gary Craig is the originator of EFT. So if you look those two names up, those are Dawson Church and Gary Craig is the two ones, two basic ones that I really recommend. And so this class was really interesting. So this lady who came to teach, she is a Buddhist practitioner. She lives in India for the past 30 years. So she's very deeply invested into the Buddhist practices and traditionals and living the life, basically.
So she's a Boston native who lived in California, who's now living in India.
Yes.
Okay.
And being, yes, it's she was all over the world, and she was also teaching in China and all that. So she really traveled everywhere, seen a lot of things. A little bit more about EFT is that, you know, the meridians, like we have like five different lines attached to the five different organs. And basically what this Gary Craig discovered is that instead of trying to find, because there's multiple branches of, not branches, but previous studies about EFT. So there's different ones that people do, and they're all called tapping, and they're all just a little bit different. But what Gary Craig did, what he basically simplified the whole thing. It's like, why don't before they try to find the meridians that emotion or trauma was stored in and try to go for that meridian? And he was saying, like, why don't we just tap them all? And when we find it, we're going to see, or when we're going to feel it when we found the right spot. And we're just going to keep tapping all of the meridians. We're just not going to skip, because they're still going to be like interwoven things on other meridians, and you never really know, and blah 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 blah. So why not just tap all of them? So it's a very, very easy practice. You have a couple of spots in the body that you tap, and you say things. So it's also very much rooted in like neuro-linguistic programming and a lot of like positive language, but also acknowledging things that are ne negative and emotions and felt sense and felt sensations. One of my favorite things about it is that at the very beginning of each session, how you start is that you accept and kind of like embrace back that negative part of yourself that you want to heal. So let's say you have back pain, and you say, it's like, okay, even though I have this back pain, and even though I suffer from it, and even though it's very horrible and it ruins my life, and it makes me angry and blah 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 blah, I completely love and accept myself. And the idea behind it is that you can't heal something that's outside of yourself. You don't have power over something that's out there. There's no out there. It's only you. So until you place your pain, your emotions, your sensations, your trauma, your everything outside of yourself, you have no power over it. So you have to first bring it back in. You have to embrace it back in, acknowledge its being and rights of being, and then you can work with it. And that was like, if nothing else, that was my top favorite thing of this whole thing.
That's great. That's a very like, I mean, it's like it's really interesting to see that like everything kind of like filters out of this kind of like there the philosophy is like filtered out of like the Jungian school, like a like of like you know shadow selves and things like that, and then it's like okay, let's now bring it back together, right? And it's interesting, like one of our earlier episodes, I think we talked about IFS, which is also an integrative like an integration based an integration based mental health therapy. And then also I think we had an episode where we talked about EMDR, which is bringing it, which is another like integration based, you know, like physical, mental integration based. And then with EFT, where there's that notion of like reintegrating the self. That's, and then, and it's it's interesting to see how, it's interesting for me to see how that carries across all of these other different, through these many different domains, and how there's different avenues that these things can come from.
Yeah. And I think like we talked about this before, but same thing in our manual therapy practice too. I
Yeah,
know we talked
exactly.
about like how like our patients, like were they pains and were they aches and everything. And it's
Yeah.
sometimes like they kind of distance themselves from it.
Yep.
It's like, oh, this is my bad leg, or they pass judgment on it. And I'm like, that leg carry you around for 30 years with no pain.
Yeah.
So technically she's pretty awesome.
Yeah, let's,
So
yeah,
it's,
exactly. Yeah, and also that bringing awareness to it. If like, oh, that thing that you're pushing away, actually, like if you turn to face it, it's probably not as scary as it is, as it seems when you're protecting yourself from it. And I didn't know EFT as EFT, but I had been introduced to this through like one when I was at a like Bessel van der Kolk does a lot of EFT, like he that's a big thing, it's a big thing for him. Like I was in a when I went to a an event with him, that was one of the things that like he had like a room of like 250 people doing like tapping, which was which was super interesting. But then also I'd been involved with a group out of Boston called Inner City Weightlifting, which would take like formerly incarcerated people and people at like high risk of gang violence, and bring them in, teach them how to be personal trainers, and like try and create a new career path there. And John Feynman, the founder of that, is connected with the folks who made the app, the Tapping Solution, and and so I, through some really cool things of friends being cool, I ended up with I ended up with that app, and the language of it, like you said, the language of it's really interesting, really, I think it's both interesting and it's very, it is freeing, where it's like, you know, when you're dealing with, when you're experiencing anxiety, like experiencing anxiety, that notion of like, all these thoughts, like they're real, I feel them. And in spite of the fact that I feel them, I also am more than those thoughts, and those thoughts are part of me, and it's okay for those thoughts to be part of me, or it's okay for those thoughts to be here, and I can, you know, I can move beyond them. And you know, I never thought about it as the like that spot underneath the nose and that spot beneath the spot on the chin that you tap there, as well as the collarbone. I'm like, oh yeah, those are the places that when I go to acupuncture, and my acupuncturist is like, and I'm like, oh yeah, like I'm just not feeling here. I'm not feeling right. Like where I want to feel mentally. Like, oh, he's needling those spots.
Like,
yes,
exactly.
All five of them. You're like, oh, now this all makes so much sense.
Yes.
So I don't know. I can't believe that I had missed that, like missed the boat there.
Because they call it in different way, names and everything. So not everybody calls it EFT, because EFT is the Gary Craig way of doing it, but they're like the tapping itself, or like the meridian acupressure, basically just activating those points is years, is like thousands years old. Literally thousand years old. So it's the new thing about it, it's very little, I think, the putting together, and I think the scientific validation and a research behind it, that's what places it on the map. And that's why they use it again in different, like more like not just personal, but more as a commercial or industrial use to multiple people, because it is validated. It's research based. It's easy to do. You can do it on yourself, and you basically can do harm. So it's a very good working
we like cheap
very
mistakes, you know, like
exactly.
So how do you use it in practice, how does that work for you?
So far I don't.
Okay.
But it's coming, because I think like for me right now is using or kind of like as a mindset, thinking about that when I talk to somebody about their injuries or pain or anything like that. It's like, okay, like this is not going to work. We can't help you. And until you take full responsibility for this, or until you kind of bring it in to yourself and make it your own again. And I think that's where, so this is where it comes in that I learned it from a Buddhist lady, because I'm not sure the other ones do it, but how she taught it. And I think I have questions about this to other practitioners, but how she taught it is that you always include your previous lives, like whatever I did to you. If you have, like, if you're tapping about like a relationship, for example, like whatever I did to you in this life or previous lives, you know, I'm sorry and blah, 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 blah. And you're kind of bringing in the responsibility to yourself. Like, let's say your partner is really rude to you and you're saying, it's like, it's, you're kind of turning that pointing finger back to yourself. Like, whatever I did to you in this life or the previous life to treat me like this, I am very sorry. Please forgive me, blah, blah, blah. Thank you for showing me the lesson. And thank you for, the opportunity that we can finish this lesson right now, or finish this karma right now. So it's kind of like bringing back the responsibility to yourself. So that's definitely one mindset that I love. And if I could tell it to every client of mine, it's like, first of all, love thyself, like however, whatever is in there, just love it and don't push it away. And second, it is your life and your life only. And you're the only one who can do something about it. That's it. I'm like, okay, cool. You can heal anybody with anything with that, because it's all in them. And
Go
for it.
I feel like that's such a tough line to toe, that feeling of like that, to say like, you know, whatever is happening in your life is something that you're responsible for, without also saying, without it being, you know, while that is like, also, like, you know, like circumstances exist, right? Like life happens. And so it's like, you know, my therapist said this really great thing one time, where she was like, basically like, you know, there's the Buddhist saying that life is suffering. And, you know, there's a school of thought among Buddhist scholars who say that this is actually like really, this is like a poor translation. Like English isn't a good language to speak. English isn't a good language for Buddhism.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. like, because like in English, English has the connotation of enlightenment as a destination. Like English is a very like goal, like is easily a goal focused language. And apparently we're going down this path today.
Yep. I told you.
So English is a very goal-focused language. So the notion of enlightenment becomes a thing that you want to get, right? It's like an objective-focused language. Whereas in the connotation of enlightenment in many of the East and South Asian languages, enlightenment isn't a thing. It's a transient state. Right. It's like it's a state that is like, it's an ethereal state that doesn't exist when observed. It only exists unobserved. And then, there's a similar linguistic problem where we look at the notion of, why did I lose my train of thought? We said there's a similar thing where you look at the notion of like life is suffering, and you say like, and it's like, oh, suffering is in life. But the meat of that statement is that life just is. In English, that's an incomplete sentence. In other languages, that's actually like life is a complete thought. And so there's that, like, you know, there's those challenges, those like linguistic challenges where you're saying like, you know, in English, everything in your life is your responsibility, and that can sound like a burden, but in a like coming from a different linguistic tradition, everything in your life is your responsibility is just a statement of fact of like, it's a statement of fact that looks at circumstances as circumstances, and it's not your responsibility to deal with the circumstance, but it is your responsibility to live in the circumstances in which you exist, and accepting those circumstances can give you some of the power to change it, whether that's at a micro level within yourself or if it's at a macro level of like, I don't know, moving back to the country that you grew up in and being like, wow, our healthcare system's stupid. I should probably do something that makes it better. Right. Like it's like, that is an embodiment of this notion. So I think it's super interesting to think about that. Even independent of like, when you start thinking about like previous lives or anything like that, which is just that's not a language that I speak at all.
Yeah. And exactly what you said is like about life too. It's like, so I think I have like deja vu that I think we talked about it. So what is life?
Yeah.
So because like when you said it's like there are circumstances, like, yes, but is that your life? Like life is suffering if you place your life into circumstances and onto the outside, whereas like life has suffering if you bring it in, and life is only how you look at the outside and the circumstances that surround you. So it's like, which one is life? Is it life that I live here? Or is it life that how I think about and how I feel about that I live here? It's like, which one is my experience? And that's kind of like, I don't think you can separate those necessarily, because like, of course they come together. But it's like, so which one do you think life is? Like, which one is your true experience?
Yeah. Or that is it just like it's samsara and like it's just the cycle, right? It's just like it's the constant cycle of rebirth.
So interesting questions. There's a thing. So, and like Mate Gabor also talks about taking responsibility for your life, and the body says no, that we talked about before.
Yep.
And again, like every time I talk about it, and every time it's a hard line thing to say to somebody who thinks that their cancer or chronic illness is a punishment or a burden or something that happened to them. However, again, for me, like what I, and the trauma, especially like Mate Gabor talks about it in respective to trauma, like whatever trauma happens. And it seems like, yeah, it is a good thing that trauma is not what happens to you, but what happens inside of you, in response to outside events, because that's the only thing you can change. You can't go back in time and change what happened. But how you feel about it and how you relate to it, that's what you can change. That's what you can renegotiate. And I think it's the same thing could be with illness too. It's like, it's not that you got it for punishment, but until you take it back to yourself, you're leaving the power outside of yourself. And that's what, you know, bugged me in the American healthcare system too. And it's not just that, it's everywhere. Is that these clients and patients giving somebody else the power. It's like, heal me, doctor, you heal me. And I'm like, they can do stuff, but you're the one healing and you're the one has to do the healing.
Yeah. And that's that's super powerful, because it's that it comes back to that idea of reintegration and, you know, bringing together all parts of all of our parts. And the challenge of that, where somebody, you know, for somebody who's, you know, who lives with pain chronically, and who feels that their body is constant, feels at war with their body, how we can, as practitioners, how can we acknowledge that feeling of conflict that someone's having with one's body, while also, how can we acknowledge that while holding enough space that they don't feel like they're being blamed for their own mm-hmm. pain. And that's something that I have, you know, that's something I don't know that there is an answer. It's mm-hmm. cause it's really hard to, mm-hmm. Ultimately, like the best results that I've ever had are helping people renegotiate that. But I don't know if I could explain how mm-hmm. to, like, I don't know that I could explain how that works, because it's not just what I do. It's part of it's what I do and what I say and what you do and what you say. But most of it is how they take it on, whether they're taking it on from what you're saying or what you're doing, like, or they're taking it on from the information that's coming through their body. Like, who knows, right? It's so difficult to teach in these ways. It's so difficult to get the outcomes in these ways because it's so personal, because mm-hmm. it's whatever is, you know, the change that happens is what's happening inside one's body, which, to like step out of the philosophical for a second, that's one of the things that I think is really great about EFT and, or like tapping as I've known it. One of the things that I think is really great about it is that it's an entirely guided, potentially, but internal experience. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's really, that I find really, that's one of those, that's something that is very exciting.
Yep. And that, and then like how you translate that to into a session or something is the language. And that's what the other thing that I really like about tapping is that saying things that are also programming, you know, a different thing. So you want to replace or shift those negative programs after a while, and you want to say, it's like yes I have this pain, however, you know, it can get better any day. And that's where I think that's where we come in too as manual therapists, because again, the small amount of space or hope or painlessness we mm-hmm. can create, that's for them to take another territory, basically. Yes. Take a little bit back.
It's a ratchet.
Take a little bit back. And yeah, it's like, okay, let's keep going. Let's just keep digging. And the more painlessness we have, the more health we have, mm-hmm. the more you have to hold on and the more you have to like live from.
Yes.
Definitely language. Like for me, it was really interesting translating that class, because it was, I had to like, even in sessions, I had to translate and it was really hard, but you kind of have to like find the right words and the right, and you can see it when they tap and they say something and they just start like crying out of the blue, like uncontrollable. And then like a couple of minutes later, it's just, so you say the same things and it has zero power over them.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my God. Mm. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, that was, that just reminds me of when, of my personal experience with EMDR, where it was, it went from like something went from a distressing, like a high level distressing memory to just a thing that happened in literally the blink of an eye. It's unbelievable how our body, when our body goes through that integration process, how it changes, right? Like how much, I think for people who are sensitive to this, how intense the feeling of disconnection within one's own body, mm-hmm. that feeling of disconnection, that conflict is the thing isn't the thing. It's the feeling of conflict that is, for me at least, is the thing I notice is the most uncomfortable, like the hardest thing for me to physically and emotionally live with is feeling that friction. That friction is something like that feeling, that disintegration is really difficult, like very uncomfortable. And then to feel that reintegration really changes things pretty dramatically.
Mm-hmm. You get your parts back and you just keep like shoving it back in and taking it back out from the outside. It's Yeah, I think so too. Like, that's a very powerful experience. And that's, yeah, that's, I kind of feel like whatever we do it on, like, a soul or emotional or mindset level, or we do it on a physical level, like, wherever you can do it, it works the other parts too. But that's the only thing that's worth doing. Like, just keep integrating and keep bringing those pieces back, because we're young, and like, even for us, I'm pretty sure we, you know, spread some of ourselves like around. And I can't imagine somebody who has like a big distance, like a big part falling off or something, you know, and bringing them back in is just all the power. So yeah, definitely.
Nice.
Definitely.
That's
a good
great
one. Mm-hmm.
So this is something I'm sure that we're going to come back to, because as you start to bring this in, I look forward to hearing about this in the future after you start to bring this into practice, because it feels like this is a really fantastic complement to what you've done in the past, and so much of, and the with that through line of so many of these things, which are the through line of reintegration, the through line of you know, helping somebody find home within themselves. I feel like this is just it's going to be very exciting. I'm very excited to hear about what ends up happening with this, and how this new thing that you've learned, how it fits itself into what you're doing.
Right. Good puzzle piece to put in somewhere. I don't know yet when, but and how, but it will. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All things in time, right? Awesome. So I think that's probably that feels like a good place for us to leave this one. We'll put some resources into the show notes so that you can learn more about EFT. And you can try out, and we'll also put a link to the Tapping Solution app as well, because you can, there's a handful of guided, free guided things that you can do through there also. So I think it'll be, give you a chance to not only learn about it, but also experience it yourself, because you can. So yeah. And with that, I think we're going to sign off here, and we'll be back to you next week with another episode sometime. Next week after next, we'll be back with another episode of Hands at the Table.
Thanks for taking the time to listen to this episode of Hands at the Table. If you got something out of this episode, have comments or topics you'd like us to cover, please let us know by tagging us on Instagram. Bori is at restore_revive_therapy, and Jeff is at Just Breathe Manual Therapy. We'd also appreciate if you can take a minute to leave us a rating, like, or review wherever you listen. It'll help other people find us. We'll see you next week.